Welcome to the Strive Cast, bringing you conversations with people from your running world. Strive Casts are brought to you by Strive Trips, a unique program for high school and college student athletes, offering summer programs with a focus on real community service and high-altitude athletic training in Peru and Kenya. For more on Strive Trips, or for more Strive Casts and blog, visit www.strivetrips.org.
Okay, one thing before we get started. This is our first Strive Cast, and we are happy to bring out our first big star. Marielle Hall was a group leader with Strive Trips in Peru in 2013, where she worked and trained before her breakout cross-country season that fall. We had a great conversation with Marielle, and before we get to that, I do need to apologize for the audio quality, as this is our first Strivecast. We're still getting used to the whole process, and unfortunately there's some minor clipping throughout the interview. Yes, that's our fault, not yours. Anyways, sorry about that, but please do give it a listen, as it's a great conversation, and Marielle is obviously going to be hugely famous. Now, on to the good stuff.
Hi guys, this is Tyler Andrews. I'm here with my Strive partner, David Wilder, and we are talking today with Marielle Hall. Marielle Hall, as you all know, was your 2013 NCAA champion outdoors in the 5K for the University of Texas. She just graduated, and she's now running for Nike. Marielle was also a Strive group leader in 2013 in Peru, so that's how she's part of our Strive family. And we are very happy to have her here with us. Thank you, Marielle.
Yeah, no problem. Glad to be with you guys.
Awesome. Okay, so Marielle, why don't let's start by talking a little bit about where you were when we met. So we met in the summer of 2013, last summer. You were just coming off of your junior year at Texas. You'd run 16:22 as a sophomore. You'd been really more of a mid-D person. Up until then, you'd run 207 in high school, competed at World Juniors, and it looked like, from what I remember of talking to you during that summer, you were kind of moving towards the 5K, away from the 1500 and 800. So can you talk a little bit about kind of where you were at that point and what you were looking forward to going into your senior year?
Yeah, I think that I was just, over the summer, I was just looking for an opportunity. Years leading up to my senior summer, I'd always kind of tried to train really hard and just kind of maybe burnt myself out a little bit before I even got back to school. So I was just looking for an opportunity where I could do something a little bit outside myself and, you know, meet some new people and just kind of enjoy the summer miles and not put too much pressure on myself. And, you know, I think that I had intentions to move up in distance over the years. It was just kind of having everything come together, having the workload come together and being able to handle the miles and the workouts. So it was just a progression. I think I knew maybe my end of my sophomore year or so that I was going to have to move up. It was just kind of a matter of time when I was going to finally just make the jump.
Let's talk a little bit kind of specifically about what you wanted to do. Because I remember that summer, you know, you were running a fair amount of mileage. I think you were running in the 70s, 70 miles per week range, and that was at altitude. So was cross-country kind of something that you really wanted to hit hard? Was that something you'd done in the past, or was that kind of something that this year you really wanted to see it more as a season to focus on as opposed to just training towards track?
Yeah, I think that for the year, I kind of just set it up for myself that I wanted to give myself, you know, options or opportunities, whether that be, you know, running or academically with a career, just be someplace where I finish out, you know, academically and athletically, that could give me options in the future for things that I was passionate about and really wanted to continue to pursue. So I wasn't really honestly thinking too hard about I needed to win this race or perform really well cross country. I was just thinking I was going to train, I was going to work so that I could set myself up to have opportunities and options that I, you know, was proud of and that I really wanted to continue to pursue for however many years down the road.
Does that kind of speak to why you felt like you wanted to move up, or you said even that you had to move up?
Yeah, I think that I originally was running, you know, the 815 to get into college. That was just my coaching high school. I was able to kind of get my time fast to be able to be recruited and get to, you know, get some of the bigger universities and get a scholarship. So originally I had started out in middle distances just because that was kind of the fastest way to train without, you know, having to put a bunch of miles on early on in high school. And I was able to just get a lot faster and perform a lot better in the 815 in high school just because I didn't have, you know, tons of years of running miles or so it was mostly just my high school coach just saw the middle distances as an opportunity for me to be able to get a scholarship into college. And so it took a while since I was recruited as a middle distance athlete. It took a while in college for, you know, me to convince my coaches and for my coaches to come around and say, okay, it will give the longer distances a shot. So moving up was really something that I knew that was probably going to happen eventually. It was just coming out of high school, I had just been recruited as, you know, an 800 meter. In high school, my fastest or my best time was in the 800. So that was kind of where I started, I guess.
I just want to go back to one thing you said about how it sounds like you kind of took some pressure off yourself in terms of running when you were going into your senior year. And, you know, you said you really wanted to balance everything and have options academically and athletically. And you know, you weren't really thinking about targeting one race or anything like that. So, you know, that almost sounds kind of the opposite of what a lot of people do senior year. A lot of people, especially athletes, I feel like really go into senior year saying like, okay, this is my last chance. You know, I really have to perform big now. Do you think that kind of helped you in a way that it took some of the pressure off and it kind of, that's kind of what let you have that really big season in the fall?
Yeah, I definitely think that played a major role. It just allowed me to enjoy everything else a lot more. I enjoyed, you know, just running was a lot more enjoyable, being with my teammates and, you know, joining different organizations on campus and just kind of investing when I was in one place, just investing myself in that, and then once it was over, kind of moved on to the next thing. So I didn't, you know, get crazy after any race or one workout and think that was going to be, that was going to predict my future or how I was going to be able to stack up against, you know, different runners around the country. I kind of just took it one step at a time, and, you know, once practice was over, I went to class, and I forgot about running, and, you know, once class was over, and I was back in the weight room for an afternoon session, and I was focusing on that. So I think I just really learned how to compartmentalize my running and my academics and my life and just kind of not take anything too seriously, not get too down on myself, but not get too excited by one result. Kind of just keep everything even keeled and just enjoy all the work that's put into it, because that's really what you spend the most time in. You know, you don't really get to, you only compete what, you know, I maybe ran 6 cross country races, something like that. And, you know, I trained or did some type of something running related every day. So for me to just get too wrapped up in the results, I think was one thing that kind of held me back from being able to do more earlier on in college. So
going into that season, you know, it sounds like you were really level-headed during the season. And before that, were you kind of, did you have hopes as big as you ended up achieving, or did that kind of take you by surprise? You know, going into that year, were you saying, you know, okay, I want to win regionals, I want to win Big 12s, I want to, you know, be competing at nationals, or did that kind of like spring up on you in a way?
Yeah, I think that I set those goals for myself. Like I said that I wanted to win those races, but I think that I put more emphasis on how I was going to do it. So instead of just having these lofty goals of wanting to, you know, win a Big 12 championship, it was more so, okay, what am I going to do every day to get there? And that's what I focused on so much. So, you know, in the beginning of the year, I may have sat down and thought through some of the things I wanted to accomplish, but I paid a lot more attention to kind of the everyday steps that I needed to do in order to get there. So whether it was, okay, I need to be on time to practice every day, so that means I have to wake up at, you know, 5:30 so I can get my stuff together. I need to, you know, make sure that I do my work on the weekend so that I can get, like, at least 7 hours of sleep every day. Or different things like that is what I really focus on during the year instead of the big end result, because, you know, I can't really do anything if I don't. I can only set myself up as best as I can to go out there and compete well. If I don't come away with the win, or if I don't come away with a race that I'm pleased with, it's, you know, sometimes things happen, and you don't always, the races don't always pan out the way you want them to. But I think you feel like you have a lot more control over those results if you focus in on the everyday steps that get you to the big end goal.
Yeah, there's a great Bill Aris quote. Bill Aris is a high school coach. His mantra is always, the process is the goal. That if you focus on the process of things, and like you're saying, like, you know, doing everything right, then the goals will take care of themselves in the end. And it sounds like that's kind of been in your mind for a while.
It's on our wall, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a good quote to go with how I went about my year. It was just, the goals kind of did eventually evolve. You know, I never was planning on, I never said I wanted to run a specific time in the 5K. It was just kind of like, you know, I want to be able to do X, Y, and Z first, you know, right. And then if I can do that, then, you know, you start performing well and you start to say, okay, maybe it's not unreasonable that I could win a national championship or, you know, qualify for nationals with my team or those sorts of things. So I think that definitely focusing in on the everyday things allows, you know, bigger things to evolve from that.
So let's talk a little bit about the end of cross. So you went into nationals like on a real hot streak. You'd won regionals. You had won Big 12s. You know, you were obviously running super well. What were your goals going into cross nationals? And then you know, can you tell us a little bit about what happened during the race? Obviously, it didn't play out quite like you wanted. But can you kind of give us a rundown on what happened there?
Yeah, I went into the race definitely thinking that I changed to compete for the win. I think that, you know, being in the top three wasn't out of my wheelhouse. So I was going into it with that mentality and then just competing and seeing what happened. But it ended up not being a great day for me. I was definitely really disappointed by that result. But I think that it was good because I think it showed me throughout the year that it wasn't gonna happen with, you know, one shot and I was going to get everything that I wanted right away. You know, it took me the whole year, basically, down to my very last collegiate race to finally, you know, to win a big title. So I think that that race was just really hard for me. It was one of those days where my legs were not working at all. And it was tough. And I think that, you know, the people that were ready. And it also, I guess, going back a little bit, I think that one of the faults that I have as a competitor is that I don't like to acknowledge things. I don't like to acknowledge that maybe people are better than me or that, you know, I don't like to make a big deal about anything, but I think that not paying attention to the weather and, you know, there are people that were putting, like, Vaseline on their legs, had, you know, practiced the day before what they were going to race in, and they really had, I guess, anticipated the weather and put that into their race strategy, and I kind of just ignored it. I was like, oh, what's everyone talking about? You know, why are we talking about the weather? It's not a big deal. We should just, you know, what are we going to do about it? We just have to get out there and compete. But yeah. I think by, like, ignoring those things, I also didn't give myself time to acknowledge how I was going to, you know, prepare to be really cold when I was warming up, how I should have maybe taken, you know, an extra 20 minutes to get my legs moving or all those sorts of things. So I also learned that, you know, you can't ignore the competition or the elements. You have to, you know, study those things. That's part of, you know, as being a runner, that's kind of watching film or, you know, doing those things that I guess normally wouldn't pan into my preparation. I learned that maybe I need to acknowledge more about, like, my surroundings and my competitors and just, you know, and have a little bit more, just anticipate a little bit more what race day is going to be like. I think that race kind of taught me that. But yeah, I mean, I definitely learned a lot from the experience, and it was one of those things where I could have, in the past, you know, maybe if things didn't go the way that I wanted them to, I kind of just was like, oh, I'm not good enough. But I think that I was, and pleased, I guess, with myself that I was, you know, I didn't really have the best end to cross season, and I didn't get to qualify for indoor nationals, I was still able to kind of finish out the year on a high note. So,
yeah. So then let's move into track. So like you just said, you didn't qualify indoors. So, were you kind of training through the indoor season, moving towards with the real long-term goal of outdoor track, or was that something that you did try to hit hard?
Well, I wanted to indoor, I guess, because my coaches were just kind of like, you, one thing that you need to work on is just like getting faster in general. So I basically in winter I trained for the 5K. Like all my workouts were still 5K oriented, but I raced down. So I didn't run any 5Ks indoor, which, you know, in retrospect, it was a mistake, but it was kind of just like a plan that my coaches put before me, and I believed in it. So
sure,
I was going to, you know, do all the workouts that were 5K oriented and then race down in the mile and then 3K and just try and kind of get my speed back a little bit indoors from the races and not so much from the workouts, and just have an easier transition into outdoor where we would do a lot more faster intervals. So that was the plan. So indoor, I mostly raced the mile and 3K, and I wasn't really able to get, you know, as fast as I needed to be able to compete with silver top runners in the country. So unfortunately, it was just a season where I raced a ton and just maybe wasn't really ready to compete in the mile or the 3K.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of by the time I started getting my wheels under me and my legs under me, the season was over and I hadn't qualified. So it was definitely disappointing, but I think that it kind of gave me a jump start on the outdoor season. So while everyone was kind of at nationals, I was able to still continue to train, and those extra couple weeks may have helped me in the long run. So
yeah, was there a time where you kind of said like, okay, you know, I feel really fit right now and I feel like I'm in great 5K shape, so you know what, like we're kind of gonna pack this in and we're just gonna look to outdoors now. Was there a moment like that, or was it kind of like you kept trying every week to get go in the mile or 3K until the end of the season?
Yeah, I think that I've been in the position before, like earlier on in college, my freshman, sophomore, and junior year, where I kind of abandoned ship on the plan. So I would have sat down with coaches and been like, okay, I'm going to train for the 1500, but then mid-season, you know, my 1500 wasn't bad, and all of a sudden I'm, you know, racing more eighth. And so I really, it was important to me, I guess, really to just kind of like stick through the plan, and even if it doesn't yield the results that I want at that moment, kind of just still believe in what I'm doing, because I think that if you abandon ship earlier on, you just start to question your training and the work that you've been doing. So just because the results weren't in fact where I wanted them to be, I still wanted to be able to believe in the plan that the coaches and I had tracked down and, you know, talked about it and the workouts that I was doing. And, you know, sometimes you don't really show up when you need to, which is definitely disappointing, but I think that it was important for me at least this year to, no matter what, just kind of believe in what I was doing and stick to the plan, and like I said before, kind of just focusing on the day in, day out, and, you know, hopefully it would come around. And obviously if it had lasted all into, if I kept performing poorly, you know, for 3, 4, 5 months instead of just not getting what I wanted for a month or two, we would have adjusted and changed. But I think that I hadn't stuck with that plan long enough to abandon it, is what I felt like. So I just wanted to kind of see it through and just hopefully things would start turning around, and if they didn't, then sit back down again and try and make the adjustment.
Yeah, I mean, really, like you said, it sounds like a plan that does take some faith, because you said yourself you were training for the 5K, but you weren't really racing the 5K. So you need to kind of have that faith that, like, okay, like, I'm not, you know, racing the mile perfectly now, but by the time I get to the 5K, which is the race I actually want, then, like, this is the right thing to be doing for that, right?
Yeah, Yeah, I was kind of just hoping, like, okay, you know, I know I need this speed, I know. And tactically, also, the miles really is a good race to do indoor just because there's a lot of things going on, so you kind of get race shocked from it. So it was just one of those things where I knew that I was capable of running faster than I was, so some of it was, you know, on my own. I had to maybe, like, dig down a little bit. I could have maybe dug down a little bit deeper to kind of get the times that I needed, but like you said before, it was just like, I know I'm going to be running the 5K outdoor. I'm using this to kind of give me a jump start for that outdoor season. I want it to happen indoor, but for me, the most important thing was being able to perform well into the summer, so I just had to kind of stick with that plan.
Yeah. So then let's fast forward, you know, a month or so to the Stanford meet where you ran that big 5K PR. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, what that race was like, where you were? You know, you were a 16:22 5K runner at that point going into that race, and you know, that there's obviously a lot of prestige in those meets. So can you talk a little bit about kind of what happened in that race and what were your goals going into it?
My goals were mostly just to be able to compete. We hadn't really thought too much about the time goal. We were just going to take whatever time I got from Stanford and then work from there. So if I ran 16 minutes there, then that would have been our starting point. That's where we would have started to work from throughout the rest of the season. So the goal was really just to get in there to compete, and then whatever result I got out of it, that was going to be, you know, our base for the rest of the year. So I just went into the race, and I ran 1500 earlier, about a week before at a home meet. So I got a PR my 1500, so I was feeling pretty good, and I just kind of went into the race, wanting to go with the top pack and just kind of sit and be patient and just do my best to compete. And that was kind of the most important thing, not really the time or you know, run fast or slow, first place, last place. It was really just about getting in there and competing.
Yeah, so I think in that race you showed, I didn't actually see the race, but I saw the result, and you probably won't say it, but Marielle won the race and ran 15:19, which was a 63-second 5K PR at that point. So, you know, you showed that speed, obviously, later in the season. Did that race kind of give you confidence that these months of indoor you know, sharpening kind of races had the right effect?
Yeah, I think it just kind of goes to show that everything kind of paid off. You know, the running that I got to do with Strive in the summer, you know, that was still a part of that 5K in some way. Everything is a progression. Indoor, that was part of me being able to compete well. You know, so I think that it was a nice tag. It's nice to see, to have a result kind of back up your training, but I don't think it was necessarily, I wouldn't point it to like one particular and saying, you know, because I ran the mile indoor, that's why I was able to do that. I think it was just kind of a slow progression of everything that I had been training through from the summer to the fall and winter. It just kind of allowed me to get some momentum, and I think that 5K was nice, even for the coaches, because we had a new coach that year, so it was just kind of a nice validation of what we were doing, and we can kind of just continue on from there and kind of gain confidence with the work that we put in.
Definitely. So, I mean, we kind of already knew that you were really good, because we had like a sneak peek. You know, I saw you doing runs at 7-minute pace at 10,000 feet above sea level all summer. So I already was sold on Marielle Hall, and I feel like this the Stanford race is really, like, you know, what put you on the kind of map of the national discussion. I mean, even more than the stuff that you did in cross. I think that, you know, running 15:19 was a really big deal for a lot of people. So, you know, between there, when would that have been? That would have been around March, right? Yeah, or early April. So between early April and NCAAs, looks like you ran Penn, and then you ran Big 12, and then you ran regionals and nationals. You know, what was that like for you? Because, you know, you're a senior, you're graduating. You know, you talked about your academics. I know you take academics seriously. you know, that must have been a pretty emotional couple of months. Like, can you kind of talk about how you got through that and what was going on?
Yeah, it was good. I mean, I think, again, the way that I got through it was really not focusing too much. You know, once that race ended, it was kind of like, okay, gotta go back to training, kind of gotta go back into the everyday routine that got me to be able to run that result. And, you know, I think that's what I focus in on mostly, is just going back to my same old routine, training, classes. So I think that's kind of what kind of kept me level-headed, was just that it was only April, you know, I still had a few more months left in my senior year, so I wanted to be able to enjoy that with my classmates and my teammates. And so it was really what got me through, was just focusing on every day. There was still a lot of, you know, work to be done and a lot of tweaks that we saw that we can make to hopefully be able to improve upon that performance. And, you know, there's a lot of really great runners in the country and in collegiate running, so really just knowing that that was just one race and it was still really early in the season, and if I, you know, wanted to continue to be able to have opportunities to run, I was going to have to be able to, you know, show those kind of results more than one time. So I was really excited about it and pleased, but I also knew that I had to continue to keep working if I really wanted to be able to compete the way that I knew I could later into the season.
So my questions, as I've been listening, are like a little bit more, you sound so like level-headed in so many situations, and I see the long-term planning and determination that it takes to do what you did. And I'm curious about, like, if you have any insight on where that comes from. And also I want to ask, was there a time that you really struggled?
Yeah, I mean, yes to both of those, or I don't know if that's a yes question, but I can start with the last question, is I've definitely struggled with being able to look at the bigger picture and being able to stay, I guess, you know, stay level-headed. Like you said, I think sometimes with results would happen, and I don't think I ever got too high about results. I never really went crazy and was like, you know, beating my chest, saying I'm the best after I ran a race. But I think that when I didn't do so well, disappointment definitely, you know, sat in me, and it was hard for me to kind of come up again for the next week and the next day if I had a result that I wasn't too pleased with. So I think that I don't think there was anything that was overnight. I think I've always been pretty hard on myself, and I've always, you know, set pretty high goals for myself, and with, you know, high goals definitely comes a heavy load of disappointment. So I think that being able to, I think the only thing that's really changed is getting older and dealing with that disappointment and realizing that that's going to be, if you really, you know, love the sport and love what you're doing, that's going to be part of the picture. So I think that the only thing that's really changed over the years are how I've come to be a little bit more relaxed about everything, and is, you know, one biggest thing for me is being able to set up the goals, but also set up a way to get there. Sometimes just putting a goal out there and not, you know, creating those action steps to get there makes it impossibly hard on yourself. You know, you don't know what you should be doing. You know, you can't control what everyone else is doing. So if you don't gain confidence in your approach, and if you don't, you know, come up with a way that you're going to get from A to Z, then you just kind of question everything that you're doing. You're constantly anxious about not doing enough or doing too much. So I think early on, just setting up the way that you're going to go about your process and just honing in on that and surrounding yourself with people who believe in you and believe in the way that you're approaching it, that helps a lot. And also just, I think as you get older, you just learn that disappointment is going to come. You're not going to be able to be, you're not going to be able to be invincible, but as long as you're with people that you feel comfortable with and you are, who, you know, support your goals, then I think that it becomes a lot easier to just focus on those people and how much they mean to you, and also just focusing on your approach to your goals. I think that's something that I did this year that I didn't do in the past, and it just made the whole experience a lot more enjoyable. You know, you enjoy spending more time with your teammates when you're actually in the moment spending time with them instead of, you know, being anxious about a race that you have coming up or having these huge expectations for yourself. So I think I really just tried to focus in on being present in what I'm doing and not, you know, not too much forward thinking. I think once you make a plan, you make that plan, and then you kind of have to put it in the background and not look forward to it so much, but just kind of, you know, take it day in and day out and just appreciate that process instead of, you know, constantly looking at the countdown for how many days you have left to nationals or regionals or whatever you're looking forward to. So, yeah, I don't know. That was like a jumbled around answer, but hopefully I answered something in there.
And I guess that kind of leads into the whole subject of, like, what, you know, you went from someone who was not even qualifying to NCAAs to winning a national title in a year. What do you think that you know, level-headedness that Dave talked about had a lot to do with that? Or was there, you know, a physical difference? Was there something in your training? You know, what, tons of kids are, you know, pretty close to being NCAA qualifiers, and, you know, they're all dreaming about winning NCAA titles, and you're the person who did that, who, like, made that huge jump. So what can you tell other people, like, what, you know, is it a training thing? Is it just how you carry yourself? Is it just luck? Is it in your attitude? What's your take on that?
I think it's definitely a little bit of everything that you just said. I think that it attitude is definitely a big component of it. I think that if you I guess I'll explain it like this. So I think that when I got into college, I had looked at things like, okay, here's professional runners, you know, these are the things that they did to get there. You know, they're NCAA champions or they're regional champions. They have these records, they do this. And I think I set myself up with, okay, if you want to get there, then those are the things that you have to do. And I was so focused on every year, like, I'm getting further and further away from, you know, getting these titles and winning these races and doing all these things I need to do to be whatever, you know, get to the next step of being able to compete as a professional runner. So, and I think that kind of attitude isn't really conducive to any type of success. I think the only thing that you can really do to make big jumps is to, you know, embrace the training. Now it's pretty easy to know, you know, what you need to do to get to whatever level. You know, if you want to run 15 minutes for a 5K, you know that you should be coming through the cage in about 3 minutes, we'll say. So, like, you know, it's, you know, you can figure out the times, you can set those up for yourself for the training. So training doesn't have to be this, like, complicated puzzle. You know, I think that it's just kind of expressing to your coaches and the people around you, like, these are the goals that I want to accomplish. You know, I said this to my coach in the year. I said, you know, it's perfectly fine if I don't achieve these. If, you know, if I get to training and I'm not able to run these times, you know, that's fine. But I want to at least say that I made the effort to try. And, you know, if I didn't get it this year, I would have tried next year. If running is really important to you, then there's no, like, time limit on when you have to get. And when you have to get the time, or when you have to win the race, or, you know, qualify for the meet. If you really enjoy running, if it's something that you're really passionate about, then there's no time limit. So earlier on, I was like, you know, this runner had a national title by the time they were a sophomore. You know, I'm a junior, I don't have that. Once I stopped kind of looking at it that way, I was just like, I'm going to just put my effort into the training and, you know, make the lofty goals. If I don't get them this, like, if I didn't do anything that I did this year, I would have still been, you know, trying to do it next year, because I made the commitment to say, you know, running is really important to me. I think that I can achieve these things. It may not take me, you know, I may not be the phenom at, you know, at this age or whatever, but if it really is something that I'm passionate about, if I really believe that I can do it, you know, then I shouldn't have to look at a year or a particular race or a particular time as my end goal. You know, it's just something that I'll be committed to do day in and day out. So I think kind of adopting that attitude is that you don't have to, you know, you don't have to win this race, you don't have to be ready on this day. I think just kind of going into your training with that mentality that, you know, you're just going to continue to work until you're able to progress to the level that you need to be at or the level that you'll be happy with. If you're committed to that, and then I think that you'll be able to see a lot better results than kind of just looking at what other people are doing and adjusting your goals and your training to how they performed or how they got to where they need to be. Everyone's going to be different, so you're going to have to go about your training and your goals and your mantras or whatever you need to do to get yourself motivated in a different way than other people. And I think that's really the one thing that I said was, you know, I don't really care how happy I've done or, you know, what age I do on the PR or whatever. I think I just went into it saying, I'm going to work for it. And if I don't get it, then I don't get it. But at least I'll put myself out there. At least I tried. And the process is a lot more enjoyable if you, like I was saying before, focus on the little things and the day in, day out, and just enjoying people that are around you. You kind of forget, well, not forget, but it takes a little bit of the pressure off of having to say, you know, I need to win this race or I need to do this. So, yeah, I don't know if that really answered, but I think that timing is going to be different for every athlete. So, you know, if you really want it and if you're really committed to the sport, then I think that, you know, the national titles and all those things are bonuses to what you get to do every day, which is, you know, run and really push yourself and you know, there's just so many other benefits to sport and to what you're doing than getting those titles and winning races. Obviously, that's, you know, a bonus that's really great and that every competitor and every athlete's going to enjoy, but you have to, you know, like something a little bit more or want something a little bit deeper than just a win, I think, to really be able to want yourself to whatever your next level is.
It sounds like you really enjoy running just for the sake of running and training. I mean, is that true? Is that something that you'd say, you know, helps you in terms of taking the pressure off races?
Yeah, I think that you kind of have to find a balance. You know, I think that I have had periods of competing where I loved training a lot more than I wanted to get out there and race on race day. It was kind of just like a whole bunch of anxiety and not really something that I was looking forward to. I'd much rather, you know, kind of be in the comfort of my own team and my own surroundings and train. And that way you don't really have a stamp of judgment on anything you're doing. You're just kind of out there. But I think it's finding the balance in this. And I just have been able to do that as I got older. It's just, you know, enjoy the day in and day out, but remember what you're doing it for is, you know, the ultimate culmination is being able to compete and be on that platform. So I think I definitely, you have to enjoy the training because that's, you know, a majority of the sport is training. So you have to enjoy that and you have to embrace that and really be diligent in your efforts in that part. But I think you also obviously need to love to compete and learn how to compete. So that's another thing, is finding a balance between getting out, you know, in the cross-country races or on the track enough so that you learn to be a better competitor. And you know, that's something that is also important to me, is learning how to, you know, not just run fast times, but to be able to get out there and really be able to compete and push myself against the people that I'm racing against.
So speaking of balances between training and competition, I'm curious how you balance. You said you were really serious about your academics as well, and first of all, what you studied, and second of all, how you balanced your academic and non-running life with your running life.
Yeah, in college I studied government and business administration, so I was interested in like public policy of education and social entrepreneurship. So I guess that's one of the things that I enjoyed most about college was, you kind of find it's I mean, I don't want to say that it's easy to have running in school, because at times it was definitely very difficult and definitely very grueling, but it's nice because, you know, you have practice at 6:30 in the morning, you're finished at 9, you have class at 10, so it's really easy to not get so wrapped up in your workout or what you just did and kind of take that as, oh, now I'm going to run this or do that. I think as soon as practice is over, I was kind of able to take that effort, you know, put it away, write it down on my log or whatever I need to do, and then kind of switch hats and go into the classroom and kind of be present there and engage in that way. And I think that school kind of allows you to have this, like, a hobby while you're in college, which sounds kind of lame, but it gives you time to just interact with people who know nothing about what you're doing, you know, what you were doing 4 hours ago, and they don't really care.
Yeah.
So that was, at least for me, that was nice because, you know, I don't want to be thinking about learning 24/7. I want to be able to do other things. I want to be able to, like, have other meaningful relationships besides just running. So for me, it was just, school helped me keep the balance, and it helped me I don't want to say forget about running, but kind of just put it away for a little bit so that it didn't kind of consume every other part of my life. I think when you get, it's really easy to become obsessed with running. It's really easy to get, you know, wrapped up in your results and reading training logs and, you know, getting too in-depth about workouts and thinking they're going to be predictive of, you know, these great successes and all these things. So for me, school was just an opportunity to engage in my other interests, and I think I've always saw running as a way for me to be able to push other things that are important to me. So if you know, if I care about education, it's going to be a lot more meaningful if I'm able to perform well and be, you know, a good example of a student athlete. People are going to listen more to my ideas and the things that I say if I have, you know, this other agenda that I'm spending, I guess, running. It gives you just a better platform for your ideas and things that you're interested in, things that you're doing. I mean, I know, like, Tyler, you ran the record on the treadmill this summer, but you were also able to use, you know, your running, and you were able to use that gift that you have to be able to voice more about the program of Strive. So it's kind of like a piggyback balance, and I think that's what school is like for me. I was always motivated in the classroom because, you know, the more things I could learn, the more ideas that I could get, I could spin those into ideas for organizations or for, you know, for clubs or for different just ideas that I could have to be able to further different types of missions. If I was ever able to, you know, run professionally, I could have these tools that I learned in the classroom, that I learned from my peers, and kind of set myself up to be able to have a bigger voice than just, and be a little bit more than someone who's just kind of, you know, running around in circles or doing whatever. So that's kind of how I've always seen school as a way for me to just, you know, gain more resources that hopefully I'll be able to, you know, take back over to create something that's a little bit more meaningful. And I think when you have those sorts of things, it allows you to be a little bit more inspired for your running. It's a lot easier to wake up and run if you know that it's for something a little bit bigger than yourself, or for, you know, a future that you're trying to set up for different ideas or people, then rather than just, you know, waking up for the sake of just for yourself and for your own goals, which are important too, but just kind of having that extra push sometimes is helpful.
So it sounds like maybe you already, keeping with your kind of planning strengths, you already maybe have something in mind. Is that true?
I think that I am always trying to think of things. I think that was one of the things, now in retrospect, I mean, I've only been out of school for a couple months, but, you know, being with so many minds, it was a nice way to kind of just, you know, you're constantly thinking and constantly trying to engage different ideas with people. So I don't think that I have, like, one particular idea that I'm running away with, but I, like, Strive program, I thought that was, you know, that's a really unique experience, and it was a really great idea, and I think that that gives, that's one of the things where, you know, it's a program that I was really proud to be involved in and something that, you know, I would like to see myself be able, you know, to work with in the future or, you know, create things for yourself. So I have nothing really planned, but these are all kind of things that I would like to be able to have in addition to running, I guess, or I would like to somehow be able to merge the two.
Let's finish talking a little bit about what you do have going on right now. So we know you won the NCAA title in June, and then you signed with Nike shortly after that, after graduating. You know, what have you been up to this summer, and kind of what are you doing now, and what are you looking forward to in the future?
Yeah, so I think maybe 2 weeks after USA's, I went to Europe and I ran three races over there. I went to Ireland, I ran a 3K, and then I went to Belgium for the remainder of, it was about a little less than a month. I ran a 5K and a mile. Then I I went back to Austin, moved out of my apartment, and then I came home. So I'm back in New Jersey now, and I'm running with my high school coach. And right now I'm just been, there's a couple post collegiate runners that are there from around the area, and then being a junior runner, Aji Wilson, she trains over there as well. So I'm there, just been putting in lots of training and kind of just trying to get organized for the year. Nothing really special about it, lots of running, eating, and sleeping. It's basically been the days for the last month or so. That's really about it.
So do you have kind of plans for a season right now, or are you looking at indoors and towards that, or are you looking more towards next summer and world championships and all that kind of stuff?
I think I'm probably going to definitely run a few cross races. I may be running in Paul Short next weekend, so I'll be running there, and then I'm not really sure where I'll probably do maybe a road race around Thanksgiving, but I'm not exactly sure, I guess, what the schedule is. We're mostly just focusing, you know, on training and racing every once in a while, just because my coach just doesn't like to train. All just wants to have in a race to kind of see where we are and see if we need to make adjustments, or kind of, you know, just getting in a race, not forgetting how to compete. That's important too. So that's really just what the fall is going to be about, is training and a few races. And then I'll definitely probably run a lot of races indoors, just because of where I'm living. It's pretty close to the Armory.
Sure.
And lots of other indoor facilities. So not really much for me to be able to get up there and compete in races. And the Armory has meets just about every weekend, so I'll probably do quite a few races indoor. And then our goals for the next 2 years are just, making a world championship or Olympic team, that's basically the next, or at least the next year, is just focusing really on outdoor trials for the world championship team in the 5K.
I was going to sneak in one more
question
about, since Peru takes high schoolers on these trips, I was going to ask about your high school running and how you, like a brief answer about how you got into running and maybe one of your favorite parts or aspects of it in high school.
As my mom signed me up for rec track in middle school, that's kind of how I got started. I would say my favorite part of high school running was, I think it's just kind of the open door policy for cross country, at least. You know, I feel like everyone kind of had a shot at cross country, and I think that was, you met a lot of people that may have not been too fond of the sports in general at all, but somehow found their way on the cross country team. So I kind of like that. I enjoy that kind of open door policy in high school. And with running, if you kind of put in the work, you'll always yield some type of small improvement no matter what. So that was kind of fun, just because there was you know, all different people with all different types of goals and all different types of agendas. I think in high school and college, you take a little bit away from that. Everyone's a little bit more serious. So I just enjoyed high school, just cross country and track, just because people from all different sports, and it was just kind of a big mixing pot, I feel. You know, we always had some basketball players, soccer, people who parents made them be out there, people who love to be out there. So it was just, it was a fun experience, I guess, just to be with so many different types of people.
Yeah. Okay, so why don't, can we finish off? Give us your best memory from Peru that you have.
Best memory from Peru. I'm going to go for the pancake eating contest.
Ooh, pancake eating contest.
Yes. It was a little tragic to see everyone a little ill for the day, but I enjoyed making the pancake.
Yeah. Well, it was a lot of fun. We had a ton of fun with you, Marielle, and it's been really great catching up. So thank you so much for your time. And we'll be sure to follow you and keep in touch with everything.
Yeah, no, definitely let me know if you need anything. Sorry it took me so long to respond, but thanks for talking with me.
No, awesome. It's been fun.
Yeah, it's great to meet you.
Thanks for listening to the Strivecast. This podcast was brought to you by Strive Trips, with hosts David Wilder and Tyler Andrews. Produced and edited by Tyler Andrews. For more on Strive Trips, or for more Strivecasts and blog, visit www.strivetrips.org.